I want to introduce this song. I told Charles, I said, a few months ago, I've heard about it. I run across on the YouTube a song called 4 Days Late. The guy who wrote it was telling about why he wrote it. And he'd had some real problems. In fact, he and his wife wrote it. They'd had some real problems in their life. And he came up with a song called 4 Days Late and Still on Time. And I heard a lady sing it then on the YouTube. And being the nice guy that I am, I run to Kathy with it and said, "You've got to learn this for the rec room." Like she didn't have anything else to do. And but she's going to come and sing in a moment. And let me tell you, listen to the words of this song. And then we're going to turn in the Bible where it all occurred, the words of this song, and get it from God's Word. Kathy Thomason, our pastor's wife, and she will bless your heart.
I love it.
Now, if I don't touch you, you're untouchable. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And now we'll read about it from the book. If you don't have a Bible and would like to read with us, would you hold your hand? We'll get you a Bible. Keep it up. We got the Bible people coming. John chapter 11. We're going to start with verse 1. John chapter 11. And let me say this about the Bibles. If you don't have a Bible here with you in Odessa, just accept that one as the rec room's gift to you. We'd like to give you that Bible. If you're going to leave it here because you have a Bible here, you just didn't bring it tonight, would you put it on the back table when you leave? Don't leave it in the seat. If you put it on the back table, then we can keep them all together. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he who thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified therein. Now Jesus loved Mary and Martha and her sister. Let me stop there. I'll stop at times to interject some things. I want to talk about the people in this story. It's the family. It's a family of two women, Mary and Martha, and their, and I think just by the way it reads, and I'm not sure, that Lazarus is probably the youngest of these. Martha was one that was busy serving. But you always find Mary, when you read about her in the book of John, she always ends up at the feet of Jesus. And in fact, one time Jesus told Martha, said, you do well, you serve, but Mary does the necessary part. You need to spend time at the feet of Jesus. Now, you can spend it at the church and do a lot of serving, but before you do that, you really need to spend it at the feet of Jesus. And so they contact Jesus and said, look, Lazarus, whom you love, he loved his family. And he said, Lazarus, whom you love, is sick. And love just waited. Think about that. Sometime love waits. And Jesus said, this is but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified therein. Now verse 6 says, and when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode two more days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he says to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And his disciples saith unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou hither again? Jesus answered, are not there 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Jesus is the light of the world. That's why he had no fear. See, let me say this. If you fear God, you'll fear no man. If there's a man you fear, then you don't fear God. Yeah. But you find people that fear God, and they'll fear nobody else. So, and verse 11, these things saith he, and after they had said unto them, he said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of the sleep. Now, let me tell you something else about when a Christian dies, the Bible said it's a sleep, not soul sleep, but he goes to sleep. And by the way, there's no pain for a Christian in death, because there's no pain in going to sleep. You say, boy, that hurt. I just dozed off and that hurt. No, that's only when you doze off driving and then sometimes that hurt. But there's no pain. Jesus said he, because to him he sleepeth. And notice this. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Sleep's good for people that are sick. That helps them recuperate. They said, well, you know, let's leave him alone. Let's don't wake him up. He's getting well. Howbeit Jesus, verse 13, spake of the death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking his rest and sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. One little question here I just want to throw in. How would he have known that if he wasn't God? He wasn't there. How do you know Lazarus was dead? All he'd ever heard, he's sick. He tells them plainly. And I've noticed this over the years, that he doesn't beat around the bush. He tells us plainly. Right? And notice, he said, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, and to his fellow disciples, let us also go, we may die with him. People have put they've always called Thomas Doubting Thomas. But the truth of the matter is, he didn't, that's not who he is. Here he's willing to go. He said, they're going to kill us, but I'm sticking with Jesus. Let's just go with him. And the time when he said, I've got to see him before that I believe you guys, that they had all seen him, so why should he believe them? They all did the same thing. He said, when I see him, I'll believe. And Jesus never got on to him for that. He never said, you doubter, I'll just slap you upside the head. He didn't say that. Then said, and then verse 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, if thou'dst been here. Oh, how many times do we say if? If thou'dst been here. She said, if thou'd been here, my brother had not died. If you'd just been here. And he could have been there. And she said, if you'd have been here. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Martha knew her Bible. She said, I know I'm going to see him again. I know he's going to rise again somewhere at the last day, wherever that might be. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? It's kind of interesting. Martha knew her Bible, but Jesus could teach her some more. Some of you, well, I know my Bible. Well, you can learn some more. You haven't got it all. You haven't touched bottom in it yet. Believe me. None of us have. She kind of criticized him a little bit. She said, yea, Lord, verse 27, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world. And when she had so said, she went away and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, and here it is again, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. And I want you to notice the compassion of Jesus Christ. And Jesus knows what he's going to do, because he's already said, and he'll tell us why he waited. But he knows what he's going to do. But look at this. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, she groaned in spirit and was in trouble, and said, where have they laid him? Then said they unto him, Lord, come and see. And you're going to see the shortest verse in all the Bible, verse 35. Jesus wept. Jesus cried. It's all right to cry. We live in a society where we're too tough to cry. Well, here's a man that's going to go to the cross and suffer it, but he can cry. He had compassion. He saw the pain of Mary and Martha and the other people that loved Lazarus. He's at a funeral, and he sees the heartache and the burden. And he said, where have they laid them? Crying is good. Some of you need to have your heart broke. In March 7th, 1986, I'd been over to Big Spring Federal Prison teaching a Bible class. I came back that night, and I was sitting at the barn, breakfast bar, and the phone rang, and I answered it, and it's my oldest daughter, to tell me that my youngest son had been killed. It's kind of interesting because his sister's name were Mary and Martha. I have five children. I have a Martha, a Mark, a Matt, or Matt for Matthew, and a Mary, and a Michael. I named them all Bible names. I got them a dog one time, and they said, Daddy, you've got to name it a Bible name. Good. I said, Daddy, we're all, you got to name it with an M. It's got to be a Bible name with an M. And I searched all I could find. In the 16th chapter of Luke, they're talking about the rich man and that went to hell, and the beggar, and said wherefore the rich man, wherefore the, moreover, the dogs licked his sores. So we named the dog Moreover. We did. I know there were at least three registered Doberman Moreovers. That one had been given to us. Got killed by a car. But my daughter got another one. My middle daughter got another one. And then she had another one. And my dad and I, the next morning, Saturday morning, caught a plane to Houston, Texas. My son got killed in Angleton, Texas. And then I guess my biggest concern was Martha and Mark and Matt and Mary. And all of them cried except Mark. And I really worried about him. He would not. He set his jaw. He clenched his teeth. And I could tell he was very angry. And so I tried to get him out. I tried to get him to talk. And finally he said, Dad, have you seen Mike's apartment? Last time I'd seen Mike, I was in his wedding 8 months before. And let me tell you something here, and I've said this before in this group, but don't tell me about triggers. Do you know what I kept thinking about? Thank God my son saw me sober. Thank God my son wanted me in his wedding. Thank God that the last time I saw him, we hugged and kissed. And I came back to Odessa, and I'd never seen his little apartment where he lived. And Mark said, Dad, I'll show it to you. And we went over, and I said, you got a key? He said, no, but I know how to do it. And he slipped in the window. I guess they had this between them. Come around, opened the door for me. We went in there, and I took Mike's Bible. It was laying on the breakfast bar. And I began to thumb through it and see the verses he highlighted. He had some in red, he had some in blue, and he had some in pencil. and we're talking, and I'm trying to get Mark to talk, and Mark is, he set his jaw. And a little bit he glared at me, and he said, Daddy, he said, you tell us that all things work together for good to them that love God. He said, name me one damn good thing that comes out of this. Boy, and I don't think fast on my feet at all. I'm slow. I said, God, please, please. And God, I looked back at him, and just like this word came, I said, son, your brother will never feel like you're feeling now. Your brother will never have the anger that you've got. He'll never have the hurt that you've got. He'll never have another bad day. He'll never have another bad moment. Your little brother is in heaven, and you're the one that's hurting. And he stood there for a moment. He looked me in the eye. And I saw a tear start coming down his side. And he said, Daddy, I'll buy that. I'll buy that. And we had a good cry. Oh, the pain when you lose a loved one. And there's always questions. And the people ask, I wonder why he didn't come before. And Martha and Mary said, if you'd have been here, it wouldn't have happened. Why does this happen? Why does the young go and the old stay? And many of you have been in a situation. And Mark said the same thing. Why wasn't it me instead of him? We've asked those questions. Why didn't they take me instead of somebody I love? And you know the pain and the hurt. And they're all weeping as this is going on. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Verse 39. Take ye away the stone. And Mary, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. Jewish people do not embalm. And they bury you that day. 4 days he's been in the grave. 4 days he's been decaying. Martha said, Lord, by this time he stinketh. You don't understand. It's been 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus didn't have any doubt. But he said, I want the people to hear. I want the people to know. He sent us a whole book that we could know. There's not any excuse for not knowing, because it's been here for 2,000 years, the testimony that he died for our sins. So there's no excuses there. He said, and in verse 43, he said, when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Somebody said, well, that's all a trick, or he wouldn't have said Lazarus. No, it wasn't a trick. If he hadn't said Lazarus, the whole graveyard would have come forth. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him. And let him go. When Lazarus came forth, he was still in grave clothes. Christ turns to the others and said, clean him up. Clean him up. The Bible tells us that we're dead in trespasses and sins. Every person born into this world needs to be born again. And sometime the Holy Spirit will begin to deal with a heart. Conviction. I can remember the Holy Spirit dealing my heart. I knew I was a sinner. Wasn't any doubt about that. And Jesus said one night, standing in a little old church in Brownwood, Texas, "Lila, come forth. Come forth." And you know what? I did. And he sent some people to remove my grave clothes. He sent some folks that helped me. Some helped me by not letting me get by with stuff. Some helped me by encouraging me. But he said, come forth. Some of you heard your name called one night. One day, you that are Christians, the Holy Spirit began to tug on your heart. He burdened you and convicted you. And Jesus said, come. And you came. And I venture to say that there were people that helped you with your grave clothes. Hey. Now, some of you here tonight, you've never come forth. You've felt that tugging. You felt that conviction. You know what you ought to do. But you've never come forth. He spoke to you. Some of you, you know that he called your name. If you'd be honest about it in your heart of hearts, and he calls you because he wants to take you to him. You know what the Bible said? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he calls you. The Holy Spirit convicts you. Jesus calls you. Now, what are you going to do? Let's bow our heads. With our eyes closed and our head bowed and nobody looking around. This may be the most important time in your life tonight. This may be the time like no other time. No matter how many years you've been on this planet, no matter whether you're young or old or in between, but the Lord has called your name tonight. Just as you are, you're dead in trespasses and sins. But Jesus Christ can give you life. Just as you are, you don't have to clean up. You don't have to straighten up. You don't have to do some ritual. Tonight, you can hear his voice and come to him. Just as I am, without one plea, the song's going to say. You're here tonight. And you say, Leland, I've heard him. Would you slip your hand up? God bless you. I see your hand and yours. Anyone else? Real quick. God bless you. I see your hand in the back. Someone else. Slip it up. Put it back down. God bless you. I see yours and yours. Anyone else? Yes, sir. I see your hand and yours, hon. Yeah. Yeah. God spoke in your heart tonight. Now, I want you to stand to your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed, nobody looking around. In a moment, Brother Charles is going to sing, "Just As I Am," without one plea. Here's what I want you to do on that very first verse. I want you to come forth. Say, "I turn it over to Jesus Christ. I'm lost. I turn it over to him. If he can't do it, I'm in trouble. But he can do it. Our Heavenly Father, have your own way in this invitation. Father, save some people tonight. We never know how close we are. Father, deal with some hearts. May you have the victory and Satan get defeated. In this service tonight, we ask it in Christ's name. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. Brother Charles, start singing. Come on, the very first verse. Trust in Christ as your Savior. Come forth. Come on. Come on, you lifted your hand. That's the first step. Come right on. Come out. Yes, come on. God bless you. Come on. Come on. Come right here. There'll be something she'll have. Y'all come right on. Melissa, where's Melissa? Would you help her? He'll help you right here behind you. Some of you men know you ought to be down here. Come on. Don't play games with God. Come on. Come on, sir. Yes, God bless you for having the courage. God bless you. Come on. Would you come forth? You're tired of them grave clothes? Are you stinking yet? In a moment, head still bowed, eyes still closed. In a moment, I'm going to ask Brother Charles to sing one more verse, and that'll be it. One more verse. God's given you another chance. Oh, listen. He loved you. He died on the cross for you. He's paid for your sins. It's paid for if you'll just accept it. Johnny? Yeah, okay. Would you come on this last verse right now? Do what God have you to do. Don't do what the person next to you wants to do. What does God want you to do? Come on. One last verse, Charles. Johnny. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for those that come tonight. Father, I know that it takes courage. Father, in our culture that lets everything go, when nothing seems to be sin anymore, I know that people that take a stand for you get ridiculed, laughed at, always have, always will. Thank you for those that came tonight, Father. And I pray again for those that didn't and should have. Father, I pray that you'd give them another chance. Don't let this be their last chance, Father. Burden us that even before they leave the building tonight, that they'd seek out one of your people and say, how'd I get to heaven? Tell me, I want to go to heaven. Oh, Father, I pray for that. Bless you people, Father. Thank you that you can bring us from death and take us all the way to heaven. Thank you for that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. The refreshment bars are open. Thank you for being here. Turn your Bibles at the back. Appreciate you. What a joy divine. What a
me.